Amen. Thank you, Jason. Worship team, good morning. Happy Easter to all of you. I hope you're having just a great weekend. This morning, of course, is Easter morning, and this morning, millions. In fact, over a billion people around the globe are celebrating Easter today. And of course, there are two parts to Easter, aren't there? Right? There is Good Friday, when we remember Jesus' death on the cross. And then there's also Easter Sunday when we celebrate his resurrection. And these two events in Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection, more than anything else, are what define who he is and explain what it is that Jesus is all about and why he's had such a profound impact, not only on the history of the world, but upon millions and millions of lives. Because while his teachings were amazing, and they were, they're profound, they're revolutionary. In fact, Jesus' teachings are so profound that if you trace back through history and look at their effect, you'll see that much of the values that we have, much of the foundation that we have today in our Western culture, certainly the values that we have for human rights, that type of thing, all of that can be traced back to Jesus and to the Bible. And in fact, if that's all that Jesus' life accomplished, he would be considered one of the greatest and most influential people in all of history. He'd be classified with people like Aristotle and Plato, men who have given and formed the thinking of thousands, millions of people over the last centuries. But as important as his teachings were, Jesus' death was even more important. I mean, his death was a death on a cross. It was actually a fairly common death. Historians tell us there's tens of thousands, maybe up to 100,000 people during the time of the Roman Empire that died by crucifixion. So in that sense, his death wasn't that different than many, many other people's death. But his disciples, the apostles, they taught that his death was unlike any other. It was absolutely and utterly unique because by his death, Jesus paid the price for our rebellion against God, paid the price for our sins. But here's the thing. If Jesus just lived an amazing life, if he just taught brilliant things about how to live and ideas that have revolutionized our culture, and then if he just died, if that was it, that wouldn't prove anything about Jesus' death. I mean, that would simply put him in the category of all kinds of other charismatic and revolutionary leaders who taught amazing things and started movements and then ran smack into the powers of the day and ended up dead, right? I mean, that has happened all throughout history. It continues to happen today. So what makes Jesus different from everyone else, what makes him the object of worship for millions upon millions upon millions of people around the globe is not just his amazing teachings, not just his death, even though it's so important. What makes Jesus different from everyone else is his resurrection. It's the fact that Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later that sets him apart from everyone and anyone else that has ever been. And in fact, Jesus' resurrection is key to understanding what Jesus is all about. If you took away today, if you took away Easter Sunday, if all there was Good Friday and Jesus' death and not Easter Sunday and his resurrection, the Christian faith would collapse in a heartbeat. In fact, if you look at the stories of Jesus' death as they're recorded in the Bible, the day after Jesus died on the cross, his disciples were devastated. I mean, they'd seen everything. They'd watched everything. They'd followed him. They'd seen all that he did. And the day after he died, they lost all hope. For them, his death wasn't the beginning of some great movement. It wasn't the beginning of a new faith. It was the end of everything. They quit. They went home. They went back to fishing because it was over and done. His death alone wasn't what it was. It was only 3 days later, to their shock and astonishment, when Jesus rose again, that everything changed. And in fact, that's what we celebrate today, Jesus' resurrection. And today I want to spend a few moments, not long, and I just want to help you understand that it's Jesus' resurrection that changes how we see everything. There are three kind of main ways that Jesus' resurrection changes everything. Here's the first reason. Jesus' resurrection means vindication. It means vindication. Let me explain what I mean. I don't know if this ever happened to you. It's happened to me numerous times. I've gotten into an argument with somebody, like my brother or my wife, and I'm halfway through the argument and I realize that I am right, that I am so right, and that they're wrong, right? I mean, you've had this experience, right? You've argued with somebody, a coworker, a friend, and you just know that you're right because you were there. You saw it with your own eyes, right? They weren't there. They didn't see it. Or maybe you're arguing about something like, you're the expert. Like, you've studied it for like 15 years at university, at Oxford, right? Like, you are like the world expert on this. So you know. And you know what they say? Nope, you're wrong. I don't care that you were there. I don't care that you saw it. I don't care if you went to whatever that school, Oxford or whatever it is. You're wrong. Now, in that moment, don't you just wish that somehow you could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're right? I mean, you get the video and say, aha, look, here's the video. You said this, see? And I said that, see? And I'm right and you're wrong. Right? I mean, that's vindication. Vindication is proof that gives you credibility to what you said. And that's what the resurrection is all about. The resurrection is the vindication for Jesus. Because you see, Jesus said some wild things. You know, if you've never read what Jesus said, or if it's been a long time since you've read it, you should pick up your Bible and read either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You can read one of those in an afternoon. And you should read what he says. He says some incredibly powerful things. I mean, you should love your neighbor as yourself and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amazing moral teachings that guide how millions of people live. But he also said some really hard things. I mean, he said, look, if someone persecutes you, you should forgive them. If they slap you on one side of your face, you should turn and let them slap you on the other side of the face. In fact, Jesus, one day there was a man who came to Jesus and said, Jesus, like, I like what you do and I want to follow you. But first, I just want to go home and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, look, let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me. I mean, Jesus said some hard things. And then on top of that, he made some incredible claims. I mean, Jesus says, unequivocally says, the only way that you can be right with God is through him. There is no other way that you can be right by God. It's a pretty bold claim. And then along the way, he subtly and not so subtly begins to indicate that he is none other than the Son of God. I mean, he's not just a great man. He's not just a brilliant teacher, a revolutionary leader. He indicates that he is none other than God himself in the flesh. Now, if you think about that, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, lots of people say, yeah, that is crazy. And if Jesus just had these incredible teachings, and then he simply died on the cross, there'd be no proof to anything that he said. Right? I mean, lots of people have said that they're God and that they, you know, are worthy of following and lots of things like that. The difference for Jesus, the vindication for Jesus, is that he rose from the dead. Now, of course, that's a troublesome thing for people to believe because this isn't exactly something that happens every day. In fact, it never happens. Right? Someone rising from the dead is way, way, way out of the ordinary. But then you have to understand that the claims that Jesus made were also way, way, way out of the ordinary. I mean, to claim that you're God, that you've come to bring salvation to everyone, that's not just your regular claim. So if you're going to be vindicated, you can't just do some little party trick. I mean, something has to happen in your life that only God himself could do. And no one, no matter how smart they are, how powerful, how famous, how rich, no one has come back from the grave except for Jesus. Jesus came back from the grave after 3 days, after being killed by Roman soldiers who know a lot about what a dead body looks like and know a great deal about how to execute people. After 3 days in the grave, Jesus comes back to life because that's something that only God could do. Now, the problem for many people today is they say, okay, you can claim that, but that's not scientifically possible. And in fact, they're right. It isn't. I mean, you can't go into a lab and perform an experiment that results in resurrection. And so people often simply write off Jesus' resurrection. The problem that they have is that they're treating a historical fact like a scientific fact. And these two are different. For instance, there's a historic fact that Julius Caesar, when he was a general in the Roman army, took his army and he crossed the Rubicon. Now, the Rubicon is a river at the north part of Italy that separates Italy from modern-day France. And the law of the Roman Empire at that day was that no general was allowed to take his army across the Rubicon into Italy because that was a sign that he was coming down to take over Rome and become a dictator, a ruler of the Roman Empire. But the fact of the matter is that on January 10th in the year 49 BC, Julius Caesar and his army crossed the Rubicon. And he became the Caesar, the first emperor of the Roman Empire. Now, nobody in this room was there to see that. I know that, right? I mean, we know that. And you can't replicate Caesar crossing the Rubicon in a lab. It's not something that you can do. It's not a scientific fact. It's a historic fact. But the reason that we know that it happened, the reason that we are certain that it happened is A, because someone told us, someone who was there and witnessed it, and B, because his actions changed the course of history. You can trace those changes throughout history. And the same is true for Jesus' resurrection. Nobody here was there to see it. It is a historic fact. You can't replicate Jesus' resurrection in a lab. And yet it happened. And the reason, again, is because somebody was there who witnessed it and who told us about it. And you can see the profound effects that Jesus' resurrection has had on the course of human history. In fact, if Julius Caesar becoming the emperor of Rome was profound, if it had a profound change on the course of the Roman Empire, it's nothing. Nothing compared to the impact that Jesus' resurrection has had on the course of human history. So there's no question that Jesus rose from the grave on that day. Now, of course, those, again, who struggle with this, they have all kinds of speculation. Well, maybe this theory, maybe that happened, maybe this happened. But the fact of the matter is, anyone who is seriously investigated, not just kind of, it couldn't be and let it go, but who has seriously investigated this historical event, they have come to no other conclusion. The only possible conclusion is, in fact, that Jesus rose from the grave. And I don't have time to get into it because, I mean, you could go a lot of ways with that. There's a lot of questions. But if you're saying, yeah, I'm not so sure about that, but you're genuinely interested in investigating that, there's a couple of books I want to recommend. The first, and in fact, if you're interested, they're printed on the back of your bulletin. The first one is called, the last one on the back of your bulletin, but it is called The Resurrection of the Son of God by a scholar named N.T. Wright, and you should not get this book. You should not get this book unless you want to turn over every stone and look under every bush and every rock, every possible thing. It's like 850 pages long. So if you're an academic and you love that stuff, you should get that. If you're like me, like the rest of us, you should go for one of the other ones. The middle one is called The Case for Christ. Case for Christ is the research of a man who was a fairly strong atheist and who set out one day to disprove the resurrection. He's like, this should be easy. But the more he dug and the more carefully he looked and the more he researched, the more he couldn't explain what happened on that day except that Jesus rose from the grave. And if you want an even shorter version, if you want the Reader's Digest version, there's a little book called The Resurrection of You by a man named Josh McDowell, 50 pages, 35 minutes, but it'll help you think through this question. What happened on that day? Something happened because the course of history has been entirely changed by it. And the answer, if you genuinely investigate, is that Jesus rose from the grave. And here's why this is so important. Here's why this is so significant. Because it means that Jesus was who he said he was. It means that Jesus was none other than the Son of God himself. And it means that his death becomes profoundly important. Because you see, we as humans, we have a natural disposition to go against the way God created us. I mean, we just naturally are good at dismissing him and ignoring him and disobeying him. And often we say he doesn't even exist until something terrible happens in our life, and then we turn around and blame him for it. And other times we diminish him, and often we do things to one another that bring harm to each other. And it all just comes so naturally for us as humans. And the Bible defines these things as sin. And it doesn't take much to see that we're all sinners. I mean, it doesn't matter how good a life you've lived or how messy your world has been. All of us have done things that go against the way God designed us to live. And the result is that there is a price to pay for that. There is punishment due for that. And we understand this. I mean, people say, well, how could God? Well, look, we live in a society where if somebody does a crime and they get away with it, there's no punishment. We're outraged, right? It's front page news. We say, how could that possibly be? It's wrong. We have an understanding of what justice is. And same thing. God has a standard that says, if you go against my laws and my commands, there's a price to pay. And that price is an eternity in hell apart from God. But at the same time, God has made a way where we can find salvation, where we can be rescued from that. And that's through the death of his son, Jesus. And because of the resurrection, we understand that Jesus' death was no ordinary death. Because of the resurrection, we understand that Jesus' death paid the price for our sins and took our place so that we could be free. Because he was without sin. And his life paid for our lives. The Apostle Peter was with Jesus through the whole thing. Right from the beginning of his ministry, through all that he did and said and taught. Had his death, and then his resurrection, then when he returned to heaven. And when he steps back and sort of summarizes all that Jesus did in a sentence, this is what he writes. He says, For Jesus also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. See, that's what Jesus' life was about. His life was about paying the price for our sins, showing us the way, and making it possible for us to be right with God. And that's, the Bible explains how this happens, how this can be. Later on it says this, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, the only power that can deal with the guilt and the shame and and the failure and the brokenness in our lives, the only power that can do that is the power of Jesus' death and the power of his resurrection. And this is the first reason why Jesus' resurrection changes everything, because it vindicates Jesus' life and his death and helps us know we can follow, we can obey what he says. But then there's a second reason, and here's the second reason why Jesus' resurrection changes everything, and that's because Jesus' resurrection gives us the power to change. It's one thing to be forgiven of our sins and of the things that have happened in the background and of the brokenness and the hurt and the pain. It's another thing to live differently, isn't it? I mean, if you've ever tried to genuinely change, to really become somebody different, you know that's not an easy thing to do. And if you've ever tried to live the way that Jesus calls you to live, you know that can be very hard. It can be incredibly frustrating. In fact, people who try to live the way that Jesus calls them to live in their own strength, just in their own energy, if they just try to do it without any help, they end up becoming one of two things. Either they become legalistic and often kind of mean, or they get so weary and so frustrated by trying to do it in their own strength that they finally give up. And they simply stop caring. You see, you can't do this in your own strength. You can't change in your own strength. You can't live the way that Jesus calls you to live in your own strength, at least not for long. You need a strength or a power outside of yourself that's going to help you do that. And that comes through the risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who had a pretty rough background, he writes this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You understand what Paul is saying here? He's saying, look, the old him, The him that was living in rebellion towards God, that caused so much chaos and brokenness and hurt and pain in his life and in the lives of the others. The old him, it's as if he died on the cross with Jesus when he was crucified. And the new him, the him that believes in Jesus' death and his resurrection, lives not by his own strength, but by the power of the risen Jesus at work in him. And that's where the power to change comes from. That's where the power to live the way Jesus calls us to live comes from. The problem is a lot of people don't understand how real that power is, how incredible that power is. And so they never actually use it. They never take it on themselves. It's a little bit like It's a little bit like if you went to the airport, right? You go to the airport, you go through the security, you end up in the waiting area. It's a long wait, as always is, and you're standing there, you look out the window, and you look at that jet. And that jet, I mean, that is a fine piece of machinery. It's unbelievable how it's built. And, I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. And you look at that, say, that's fine. Then you look and say, I'm a fine piece of machinery too. But I don't weigh 1,000 pounds. I only weigh, you know, less than that. More after Easter, but less than the plane, right? And then you look around, all those people going to get on that airplane with all their heavy carry-on luggage that they didn't want to check, right? And you say, you know what? If that thing, as heavy as it is, can fly, surely I can fly. And so you go at the emergency exit. If you do this, you got to be fast. You get up onto the roof of the airport, and you're like, okay, I'm going to fly. You jump off. How long are you going to fly? About as long as it takes for a rock to fall from the top of the airport and smack into the tarmac, right? But if you get onto the airplane with all those other people, and that jet rumbles down the runway, at one point you're going to feel the wheels lift off, and that thing is going to pick up, and it's going to take you and all those people halfway around the world. Now, why? Is it because somehow the moment you get in that airplane, the law of gravity is suspended? Of course not. It's because the law of aerodynamics and the incredible power of those jets overcomes the law of gravity. And it takes you wherever you go. And this is why what the resurrection of Jesus does. To follow Jesus doesn't mean that we won't struggle with sin and brokenness in our lives anymore. We do. We know this. But if Christ lives in us, if we genuinely allow him to take control of our lives, then there is this incredible power of the resurrection life of Jesus at work in us. And that gives us the power to deal with the sin in our life. That gives us the power to forgive when we don't want to forgive. That gives us the strength to change and to become more like Jesus. But we have to trust that power. We have to get on the plane, so to speak. We have to allow him to come into our lives and to change us. And too often people say, is it going to be enough? Yeah, absolutely. This is what the Apostle Paul writes again. He's writing to a church, and he says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that they might be opened, in order that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same power as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. You understand what Paul's saying here, right? He's saying this: if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is alive and at work in you if you submit to it, if you allow it to. Unfortunately, too many Christians fail to take use of that. They say, look, my sins are forgiven, I'm right with God, great. But rather than saying, but now I submit and allow the Spirit of God, the living Jesus, to indwell me and give me the strength to live, instead, they try to do it on their own. And the result is they're frustrated and discouraged, and they wonder why there's no change in their life. The fact of the matter is, the second reason why the resurrection is so important is because it gives us the power to change, the power to live differently in their lives. But then there's one more reason why Jesus' resurrection changes everything, and that's this. Jesus' resurrection means that there is hope both for this life and for the life to come. And here's why. Because before Jesus' resurrection, no one else had defeated the grave. But Jesus' resurrection changes all of that. The writers of the New Testament describe Jesus' resurrection not as a one-off event, not as some sort of one-hit wonder that just happened and that was kind of an anomaly, but rather they describe it as the first of many more to come. They use words like first fruits, suggesting that there's more fruit to come, or pioneer, suggesting someone who goes ahead and leads the way for others to follow. You see, what Jesus did in his resurrection was the beginning of what C.S. Lewis calls the great reversal. Until Jesus' time, before Jesus' time, there was no hope. There was just death and further destruction. But Jesus' resurrection means that he began to turn that around, that there was a beginning of life and hope and healing and forgiveness. And that means that we have this hope, this expectation, really a confidence that because of Jesus' resurrection, we too will one day live a new life. We one day will be able to defeat death and have eternal life. And Jesus himself says this. This is what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. You see, what Jesus promises because of his resurrection is life after this life. And that gives us a great hope for this life, because as you know, in this life, hard things happen, don't they? Things that cause us hurt and pain and sorrow. Things like, you know, health problems and broken relationships and injustice that is done to us and evil and wickedness that happens in our world and sometimes in our own life. And if this life is all that there is, if at the end of this life you just cease to exist, or you just sort of meld with the cosmos and become one with the, you know, with the ocean and the trees. I mean, if that's it, that means that all of the suffering that you endure in this life, all of the hard things that you walk through in this life, they're meaningless. I mean, they're simply lost years, abandoned, hard, terrible, horrible, useless years that have nothing redemptive about them. They're just lost. But because of Jesus' resurrection, because of that, we have this hope, this incredible confidence, and that when we die, that there'll be another life. That there will be a place where it's redeemed, where life is different than this life that we live. And when we talk about hope, you know, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not some sort of wild wish, like, I hope this is true. Rather, it's a deep confidence, a certainty, that whatever it is that we walk through, in the end, there's going to be another life where that won't be the case. There will be, in the life to come, no more sickness and sin and brokenness and heartache. It will be an amazing life. And we'll share it with God himself because of what Jesus has done as we accept him in our life. And it's not going to be, listen to me, it's not going to be some wildly boring, bizarre, sit on clouds, wearing robes, playing harps kind of existence. I mean, the Bible teaches nothing about that kind of a thing. In the life to come, you will have a resurrection body. You will have a physical body like you have now, like Jesus had after his resurrection. You will eat like he ate. You will walk and talk like he walked and talked. Only you will have all that and more, just like Jesus' body was all that and more. You see, the life to come is going to be the way that God always intended it to be. It's going to be more beautiful, more amazing, more rich, more meaningful, more filled with joy and friendships and depth than you can possibly imagine now. And you'll be part of that whole thing because of what Jesus has done, because of his resurrection, because he was the first fruits, the pioneer, the one who made the way. The resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything. I mean, it changes our past and the relationship we had to the sin in our past. It changes our present. It allows us to live differently. And it gives us hope for the future. And that's why we celebrate today. That's why we gather to remember that Jesus rose from the grave. And millions upon millions of people celebrate this day. And just as we end the service, I want to share with you the story of one of those people. A guy named Miguel, who comes to our congregation. I want to share his story for you. It's here on the screen.
My name is Miguel. My wife and I have been coming here with my three boys. It's going to be here in June. So I was I was born in the Azores. I'm Portuguese. I came to Canada in 1972 when I was 9. Didn't speak any English, which led me to be picked on and bullied, which got me involved with the wrong crowd. You know, things just got worse from there. Got heavily, heavily involved in the drugs, and it was a scary time in my life. I used to pray to God that He would help me, and he did. He brought this girl into my life when I was 19, and she was into the things I was, and she gave me a lot of times the choices, either pick the drugs or pick me, and a lot of times I picked the drugs. But came one day, that was it. You know, things had to change. Because if they didn't, I'd either be dead or I'd be in jail. Anyways, my wife became a Christian in 1991 and introduced me to some friends of hers who their husbands were going to Promise Keepers in 1994. And she asked if I'd go, and I said, sure. I thought, you know, I'll just do this just to appeaser and went in there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to all these testimonies by other men, and anyway, something was stirring inside me. I didn't like who I was. I wanted to be better. Anyways, they had a call. They called people down if they wanted to give their lives to Christ. And I'm, you know, something's stirring inside me. You got to go down. You got to go down. This is real. Anyways, these guys, they found me. And they all surrounded me, put their hands on me and prayed. And I accepted Christ into my life. And I changed. It was like my conscience woke up. And I felt overjoyed that it was like a burden's been lifted. To this day, I still have to be careful, and I have to continue to remind myself that he is number one. I mean, I worked at a job for 27 years, and you know what happened there is I forgot who number one was in my life. I put everything else in front of, like, my job was number one. My wife was number two, and I think Jesus was number three. My job got terminated, and I was devastated. I was looking at the worst, and I remembered, I said, listen, you've been saved, and there's a reason for this. And I think now I know what the reason was, is that I didn't make Jesus number one. I was making everything else number one. And anyways, I came to a service here right after I lost my job, and Jonathan was preaching out of, I think it was John 15. So yeah, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. And that's exactly what he did. He cut away the bad branches, the bad fruit. He cut away things that were distracting me from him. You know, and for those who are not following Christ, who are looking for the next party or the next fix, it leads to nowhere. It's a road to nowhere. Just listen. God wants to save you. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to bring you back. I can't explain the feeling, but I know where I was at to where I'm at, and you can have that. It's a gift. It's yours for the taking.
Now we're going to end with a worship song, but this is what we celebrate today. Lives changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Miguel says, this is a gift. I mean, this is not something God had to do. This is not something that he owed us, but rather he offers us this gift. If you're here today, you're saying, you know, I want that. I want to deal with the sins in my past. I just want to be forgiven of all of that stuff. And I want to change. I want to see God work in my life and make my life new. And I want this confidence, this hope that there is a future, that there is a huge future for me because God is with me. You can have that today. I mean, this is, again, what the Bible teaches. You simply need to acknowledge, yes, I am a sinner. I have walked against who God is and what he calls me to do. And I repent of that. And then, as we've already talked about, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and acknowledge that God raised him from the dead, and you're saved. And you're right with God, and you have a relationship with God. You begin this incredible journey of what God does in your life, like Miguel and so many others are on. If that's you, I'm going to invite you. In just a moment, we're going to pray. And you can just pray quietly along with me, and you can have that in your life as well. And for those of you who've already made that choice, have already made that decision, today we celebrate. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. That's the heart of it. That's how come we know all that we have in Christ. And so today I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to celebrate, to rest, to rejoice, and to celebrate worship together. As we do that. So would you stand with me for prayer? Let's pray together. First thing, I'm going to pray a prayer. If you want, you be right with God, you just quietly pray this in your heart with me. Now pray for all of us, and then we're going to close with a worship song. Let's pray. God, For those who want to know you, if there's someone here who want to know you, just pray this prayer. Oh God, I come to you this morning and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. God, I agree that I've done all kinds of things against you and against others that are not right. And God, this morning, I repent. And God, I ask you to forgive me for my sins, for what I've done because of what Jesus has done on the cross, the price he has paid for me. And God, this morning, I confess that Jesus is Lord, that he be the leader of my life, that I will follow him wherever he leads me, and that he's raised from the dead, and that I put my trust in him and will follow him all the days of my life. And God, I invite you to come into my life and to do that now. And I thank you because of what Jesus has done, and I give my life to you. If you pray that prayer today, God's going to come into your life. God will give you that life. If you prayed that prayer, come talk to someone after the service. And now, God, let me pray for all of us this day. Father, that on this day we celebrate your resurrection. God, we celebrate that Jesus is alive and well and that he has given us life through his life. And God, we worship you this morning. And Lord, we live for you. We go out in wherever you call us to and walk after you. And so we bless you, we praise you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 3, at the end of the verse, the Apostle Paul writes this: Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Easter. Have a good day.